Good morning again. Let's try it again. Good morning. Look to the person beside you and say, good morning. Looks like your good doesn't sound so good. Yeah, say good morning to them. Let's pray and ask God to speak to us. Father, what a joy to know that even today, Lord, we can come just freely, God, to worship you and also to experience you. Father, I pray, though, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, O God, will be acceptable in your sight. Amen. I was reading about a story. Let me start with a story about a pastor, right, who lived many years ago. And so he was praying for his friend, because his friend was quite ill, right, or maybe terminally ill. So his father, his pastor was praying for him, right? And his friend was almost to the point of death, but he was just, you know, praying, Lord, no, I want you to extend the life of my friend, right, the years of my friend. I want him to live longer. And so he was just praying to God, just knocking at the door of God and asking God to be so powerfully working in the life of the friend. So he was praying, and I believe many of us have done that, right? We pray and say, you know, Lord, extend the life of our family member, this particular individual, and Lord, you know, I want you to give them a bit more years, right? Many more years, and even though they are terminally ill, right, we just pray for them. I'm not saying it's not right, you know, it's good to pray. And so when he was praying, suddenly he felt, you know, God was talking to him. He felt as if God was asking him, right, how many years do you want me to give to your friend? And so he was thinking, right, and he felt, you know, how many years should I ask God to give my friend? Probably he thought, you know, let's ask God for 10 years. So he said, Lord, you know, it would be wonderful if my friend stays for another 10 years. And then God started talking to him in his heart, and he heard God's voice very loud and clear. And God said, would you be willing for me to take those 10 years from your life, right, in order to add to his life? In other words, I'm going to take 10 years of your life. If I plan that you will die at the age of 60, it's going to be 70, right? I'm going to take 10 years of your life, and I'm going to give to your friend. How are you? And so God was talking to him. Do you know what he's prayed? Do you think he will pray for 10 years for his friend? For a moment, he just kept quiet. He said, thy will be done, O Lord. Right? In other words, he was telling God, you know, he didn't ask God for 10 years. He did not ask God to give his friend another 5 years. He was just saying, Lord, I prayed for my friend. Thy will be done. I think it's an important topic, right? Many a times we pray to God when we come. Every time we pray, finally, many a times we round up by saying, Lord, we want your will to be done, right? Show us your will. Reveal to us, Lord, your will. And so it's always wonderful to see God's will. But are we really, the question is, are we really, right, seeking God's will? Are we really living a life according to God's will? The past few weeks, we were looking at certain things. We were looking at, you know, if you look at the passage very carefully. You know, let me do it again. Right. We were talking about, you know, thy name, right? Many times when you come to prayer, it's about us. But when you look at the Lord's Prayer, you know, when we recite the Lord's Prayer, we are supposed to pray in such a way that we always look at God's name. It's just, Lord, we want to give reverence to your name. We want to glorify your name. And we talk about thy kingdom. It's about your rule, right? We want, Lord, you to rule our lives. Your name, your kingdom, and your will. Can you imagine how powerful our prayer would be if we start by saying, Lord, you know, we want to, Lord, just give reverence to your name. We want to fear your name. We want to love your name. Lord, we want your kingdom to come into our lives in our midst, God. At the same time, we want your will to be done. You know, when we look at the will of God, many times we ask this question, what is God's will? And what does it mean to pray that God's will be done? You know, this is one of the things that we always struggle, right? Right? What is God's will? Pastor Vincent, I want to know what is God's will about my life, about my career, about the person I should be getting married to, about my decisions in life, about my choices that I'm thinking of making. You know, should I go for this mission trip? Should I not go? You know, should I be should I go to this particular campus? We are always seeking God's will. And what is God's will? And what does it mean to pray God's will to be done? I think it's important for us to ask, if God is sovereign, will not his will certainly be done? You know, this is one of the things that we tend to struggle. God is sovereign, is powerful, is almighty, is all-knowing God, right? And definitely God's will be done. So will not his will certainly be done? So should I be praying if God is sovereign and powerful? And thirdly, we also say, if God has already decided what will happen, then why should I do anything? If you realize some Christians are like that, you know, this is God has already planned everything, so why should I do anything? Just leave it to God. Does our prayer life override his will? Can I change God's will, right? Through my prayer, through my intercession, and say, Lord, I want you, Lord, to change your will, your plan. This is what I want, I desire in my life. Can our prayer life, can our faith in God change, override his will, my friend? I think it's important. We tend to struggle with all these things. I would just want to walk with you just briefly in the prayer of Jesus. Jesus, you know, when he prayed, thy will be done, you know, very interesting. I was looking at the word very carefully. You know, this the words of Jesus, your will be done, is the same exact words that Jesus is using when he was praying at the Garden of Gethsemane, right? Can you imagine Jesus was at the point of, he was just struggling, right, as he's 100% human, at the same time he was 100% divine, right? He's praying at the Garden of Gethsemane and saying, Lord, my Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done. But Jesus is there as a human being, as a divine God, and as a human being, he's just struggling, right? Lord, should I be doing this? It's difficult, but let your will be done. Those are the exact words of Jesus. When I look at it very carefully, you know, I realize Jesus did not just say the words, your will be done, but he was living a life according to God's will. It's easy to say, Lord, your will be done, your plan be revealed. But Jesus was living a life according to God's will. He said, for I come down from heaven not to do my own will, right? We have plans for our life, which is wonderful. But Jesus says that I come because I want to do the will of God who sent me. That was his primary purpose, objective, priority, whatever words you might use, my friend. That was his life, just to do the will of the Father. In John 4:34, it says, Jesus said to them, my food, in other words, my life, my living, and this is all about, my life is just to do the will of God who sent me and to accomplish his work, right? I want to do God's word and I want to accomplish faithfully whatever God has actually planned for my life. I think it's important for us, right, to know what is God's will. I would encourage you, go further, right? Read about God's will, you know, read about how do I find God's will. The first thing, you know, I want to talk to you today, it's about, the first is, your will be done. What is God's will? Right? It's a very vast topic, but I want to just briefly share with you. What is God's will? Right? Firstly, I think if you look at scholarship very carefully, it says there are two kinds of will. One is will, God's will is called the hidden will of God. You read Deuteronomy 29:29, it says, the secret things belong to the Lord our Father. It's like two sides of, if you look one side of the coin, it says God's will is hidden. It's a hidden will of God that we do not have access. We cannot see. Right? Because God is so powerful, so sovereign, and we are limited in our knowledge and capability. Even we are limited in our intelligence. You know, there are certain things not revealed to us. It belongs to us. It is only known by God, my friend. But many a times have you realized we want to know the hidden will of God, right? But God says, you know, this hidden will is mine, belongs to me. But there are moments in our life, right? We can understand, you know, what God is trying to do. But for example, if you look at, you know, God has revealed some of his plans, but not all his plans. We see the character of God. We see the good, loving God, powerful God and all that. But there are certain characters it is not revealed to us, right? The attributes of God. God has told everything, right? What are the things that we need to know? But there are many things that is not known to us. That's why Job 42, 2, he says, Job says this word, I know that you can do anything and no one can stop you. Right? And that's what Lord, he says, Lord, your will is so powerful that you can do anything, O Lord, and no human being can ever stop you. We realize, you know, there are moments that we can understand a bit of God's hidden will. Sometimes in your life, you know, you say, you know, I don't know why this is happening to me. You know, many Christians have told, right, to me in my pastoral ministry, Pastor Vincent, I've been living a life just loving God. I've been just faithful to God. I just love Him. I've been faithful in the things of God. But why? But why certain things are done to me? Or, you know, God has actually allowed. For example, you know, Joseph is a great example. Can you imagine a young man? Joseph was, you know, very faithful to God, faithful to his father. He went to seek his brothers, you know, to bring food to them. Finally, he landed as a slave in the palace. But even then, when you look at the life of Joseph, you know, he was a very righteous man. He did not ever question God, but he was just living a life for God, living a life for God. I think he came to a certain point in his life when he looked back, right? Then he realized that was the hidden will of God, right? There are moments in your life you will never know at that point of time why God has allowed these things to happen in my life. I've been so faithful to Him. I've been doing the things God expects in my life. But why has God allowed? And so Joseph says, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. I believe he was struggling. Joseph would have struggled. You know, I was just obeying my father. You know, I'm just sold by my brothers as a slave, right? I was helping people to interpret dreams, and I was just thrown, right? I was just trying to be good, but because of Potiphar's wife, I was just thrown into the prison. I was helping people. People forgot about me. But Joseph, finally, I believe, you know, I believe he was just struggling that, but then he realized, you know, God has some hidden plan. God has. No, when we look at certain things that are in our life, we begin to realize. If we read Acts 16, it's a passage that talks about Paul and Silas. They were in jail, right, in prison. Probably they were also wondering what's happening. Why, Lord? Why did you throw us there? You know, what happened? I think there's a conversion of the jailer and his household. Remember my wife and I, some years ago, we were visiting Canada before we came to Canada. We came here, you know, and we were going back. We were so excited going back home, because home is always a good place to be. So we were excited going back, and it was, I don't know whether to use the word unfortunate, right? We took the flight, and then our first stop was in Detroit. And when we were in Detroit, then we were told that, you know, the flight, they cannot leave the flight. There's some problems. You know, can you imagine? We prayed and said, Lord, when we are living, we want you to protect us, O God, and we want to reach Singapore on time right? Because we have some things to be done. And then we were caught in Detroit, and then to our surprise, they told us, you know, you need to stay in Detroit for a night. Free food, right? Free lodging, nice hotel, everything was given. But, you know, it's on one side, it's good because everything is free. But on the other side, you want to be in, you know, we want to go back to Singapore. You know, for a moment, we were thinking and also asking ourselves, why did God allow? We prayed, right? And finally, we took the flight, and then we went to Narita Airport, Japan, right? And you know, Narita Airport is a big airport. It's one of the busiest airports, right, in the world. And, you know, there are so many people just passing by, you know. So my wife and I, we were just sitting in a corner, you know, just waiting to catch our next flight to Singapore. And as we were just, you know, just taking some kind of rest, suddenly we heard a voice. Someone called us. Can you imagine in Narita Airport, almost 99.9 people, all strangers, you're sitting in a corner, and suddenly someone calls us. And then, you know, to our surprise, it was our church member who was actually taking a flight to the U.S. And this family was actually living, the husband and wife were living to the U.S. for to spend at least 3 to 4 years, right? And it was interesting. We spent some time, quality time with them, praying for them, encouraging them. And also my wife really helped the wife there. And you know, when we were talking to them, they told us, you know, Pastor Vincent and Sister Florence, you know, they were saying, when we left Singapore, my mother told me, before you land, before you go to your place, you will definitely meet Pastor Vincent and his wife. Can you imagine? We were at that time in Canada. We were going back. And she said, you will definitely meet and they will pray with you. And, you know, when I heard that, I realized, you know, God delayed everything. Right? It was not just coincidence, my friend, but God has a different plan altogether. It was a wonderful time to, you know, to just pray with a couple, with just to encourage them and also to motivate them, because they will be away for a few years. Yes, there are moments at that point of time you will not understand God's will, but as, you know, time passes by, you begin to realize why God has allowed. And so the hidden will of God, certain time, is not revealed to us, right? Certain time, you know, when things have happened, when you look back, you realize why God has allowed certain things in our lives. And so that is one of the first things, with will of God. So whatever it is, let me tell you, just hang on. Right? Just hang on to God, because God's word says in Romans 8:23, for we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love him. Right? If you say, you know, I'm faithful to God, I'm just living a life for Jesus Christ, but I don't know why God has allowed all these things. Let me tell you, just keep on your journey. Just love God. Continue to serve him wherever you are, because God will definitely do something good for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose for them. And so, ultimate purpose of God is always good, my friend, right? The answer might be delayed, but just don't lose your faith. Just keep on. Be firm. Be rooted. Love God. Continue to serve wherever you are. Secondly, when you look at it, you know, you see the second side of God's will. In other words, it's called the revealed word of God, right? It says in Deuteronomy 29:29, it says, but the things revealed belong to us. And so scholarship say, one is called the hidden will of God, which is not revealed to us. Sometimes we tend to understand a bit. But then the other side of the will of God is, it's a revealed will of God. The things that belongs to us, you know, God has actually revealed through his words, my friend. And so this is the revealed will of God. You want to know God's will? Read your Bible, my friend. right? If you want to know, you know, Pastor Vincent, you know, I want to get married, right? The Lord will not tell you who to get married. He's not going to give you a name because, you know, maybe the person you want, you know, the person's name is not here. But the Lord will give you principles, right? About principle, what are the things that, you know, that will make a good marriage kind of a thing. When you look at, you know, if you want to start something new in your life, look at the word. Look at the principles involved. Does it glorify God? Does it, you know, it just will bless his name kind of a thing. So am I doing the right things for God? And so this is the revealed word of God. So that's why, you know, when you go to church, any church, right, they will always say, read God's word, right? Not to kill your time, because this is the revealed word of God, will of God, and you begin to understand God's will. And so, you know, God's will is revealed, right? How do I walk? 1 Thessalonians speaks about it. How should I behave? Right? Principles are also given. You know, how do I speak? Right? It's not what kind of language should I be speaking. You know, how do I speak? What should be the way that I should be dealing with people? And when you look at Romans 12:2 and all that, you know, it talks about all these things, right? It says, do not sin. And, you know, a lot of things are seen here when we read. Right? And so God's word is important for us. It shows us what God expects, right? Whether our life is acceptable in the sight of God. What are the things that God wants us to be found doing in our lives, my friend? So let me encourage you, engage reading God's word. You will begin to realize and understand, you know, God's will. At the same time, you'll also realize the heartbeat of God for your life, my friend. It's so powerful. God's word is so powerful. Let me move on. And so if you, Micah 6:8 also says, right, God has shown you, O mortal man, what is good. So what does God require for us? To live justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. I like the words of Charles Swindoll. He said, the better you get to know the word of God, the less confusing is the will of God. The better you know the word of God, the more you know God's word, right? The less confusing is the will of God. You begin to realize, yes, I know what God is wanting me to do. What kind of path should I be taking? What kind of decisions would be acceptable in the sight of God? Let me move on. Then it says, the prayer, thus it says, your will be done. It's not about just will, wonderful will, but whether it's been done. When you pray, your will be done, actually you're saying, you know, what are you saying? You know, you're saying, Lord, you know, I'm going to seek your will. You're right, I'm going to seek your will. And it's going to be done. And so to be done, Lord, I'm going to seek your will. And so the first thing is that, you know, are you really seeking God's will? Or are we just praying God's will? Am I searching to see, is this God's will for my life? Right? Pray, read God's word, spend time with God, with Christian friends, you know, godly friends who might be matured in their faith, and just search for Him. Search for God's plan for your life. And that's why the psalmist says, Lord, open my eyes, O Lord. Yes, Lord, I can see, but Lord, open in such a way that I will begin to see your wondrous work. Today, I think we pray for God's will, but are we seeking? Are we searching? Are we patiently waiting to see what is God's will? Are we just jumping into some kind of, you know, conclusion? Because our reflexes says we need to do that, and so I want to do that. Are we seeking? To do God's will, we need to really seek. We need to seek. The more you see, you will begin to find. That's why Paul writes in Colossians chapter 1, he says, and he prays for the church in Colossians chapter 1, he says that they will be filled with the knowledge of his will. Right? Secondly, I think it's not only seeking. The prayer also tells us, you know, when you look at the word be done, It shows that we need to surrender, right? In other words, we need to ask, is my concern in agreement with what is expressed? You know, whatever I'm actually praying for, seeking, is it aligned to God's word? Is it congruent to God's word, my friend? Right? Maybe you don't see the exact specifics, but you know, what is the principle, you know, the God's word in terms of principle and values? Right? Does it go along with God's principle, God's character? This is what God wants me to do right now, or other things that I should focus on. I think we need to not only seek and to see whether the things that we do, right, is in relation to the teachings of God's word, my friend. And so it's important for us. And so some of the things we can do, right, God's word, engage in God's word. The proverb speaks about godly counsel, right? Seek godly counsel from matured Christians or people who are matured in their faith, right? People are maturing in their faith. And so let's spend some time, talk to them, pray, and ask them to pray with you, right? Who was firm in their faith, rooted in their faith. And then the experience, right? In other words, you know, when we hear testimonies, why do we share testimonies in the church? Yes, we glorify God. At the same time, we might be struggling in some things, right? When we hear a testimony, many a times God speaks to us through the testimony and say, you know, this is what you're struggling, right? If you do, this is what is expected. You will see my hand in your life, right? And so even in testimonies, even our past experiences will begin to help us. So the prayer be done means, Lord, I'm seeking. I'm just going to give myself wholly to what your word says, right? I'm going to just seek counsel of God from godly people who love you, who are faithful in you. I want to hear my testimonies or even my life experiences and see, you know, God has done, and this was a decision I made, and maybe this is what God is trying to tell me. And lastly, right, if you look at it, and I'm going to close, it says we need to submit. Right, thy will be done is a prayer of submission. Be done, right? It's a prayer, you know, where we say, Lord, I am just giving myself to you, Lord. It's a prayer that says faithfulness and perseverance, right? It's easy to pray and say, Lord, thy will be done. But when you look at the word very carefully and you look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ very carefully, it's a life of submission. When you know God's will, are you giving yourself to live out God's will, my friend? Are you faithful, right? Are you persevering? You know this is what God has planned for your life. Wonderful. But are you going on that particular route, right? It's one thing knowing God's will, but whether we want to travel that particular path, my friend. That's why the psalmist says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, Lord, I fear no evil. I know this is God's will, and sometimes God brings me through a darkest point in my life. I don't fear anything evil because I know, Lord, you're with me to guide me, right, to comfort me. Job powerfully says in Job 13:15, Lord, though he slay me, even though God might kill me, yet I will trust in him. Can you imagine? Lord, I'm going to persevere. Even though my life will be taken away, Lord, I am to just going to stick on with you. I'm not going to give up on you, Lord. That was the words of Job, my friend. Whatever happens, right? Evil things might just befall me, but I will be just faithful. So when we say, your will be done, we are saying, Lord, whatever it is, I'm just for you. No matter darkest valley, right, in my life, it might be pain, suffering, or even illness, my friend, I will stick on with you. That's when we say, your will be done. A.W. Tozer said this, outside the will of God, there's nothing I want. inside the will of God, there's nothing I fear. When you are in God's will, there is nothing you need to fear, because you are in control. The Lord knows, my friend, it might be the darkest moment in our life, but the Lord is there. I fear no evil. And so those words are so powerful. I don't want to be out of God's will, but if I'm in God's will, I will not fear. If you're living a good life, Christian life, loving God, seeking Him, and you're going through difficult times, my friend, right? Nothing to fear. But if you've not been really walking a life for Christ, right, and you have problems in your life, then you need to be afraid, because you're out of the will of God. Let me finish with this story. I think probably some of you might have read this story. I do not know the period, but I'll just tell you. It's about Sir Leonard Wood, right? He was visiting the King of France. That was many years ago. So when he was once visited the King of France, the king, you know, saw him, and the king invited him. The king said, "You know, why don't you, Leonard, come to my place for dinner?" So the king just casually invited him. The next day, Leonard went to the palace, and the king met him, and the king was surprised. Right? The king was surprised. He said, "You know, Leonard, I did not expect to see you. How is that you are here?" Right? And then he said, so Leonard asked the king, he said, "Did not your majesty, you know, invite me to dine with you?" The king said, "Yes, I invited you, but you did not answer my invitation. I invited you, you did not answer my invitation." And then Sir Leonard Wood made a powerful or even profound statement. He said, and let me read the words. He said, "A king's invitation is never to be answered, but to be obeyed. A king's invitation is never to be answered. Lord, I shouldn't answer, but I should just obey." Those were the powerful words of the Lord. Right? I think today we are called to obey, my friend. Thy will, your will, O God, not my will, be done in my life. I want to give myself. I do not just want to know your will, but I want to just live out God's will in my life. Because when I'm in the will of God, I got nothing to fear. When I'm out of the will of God, fear comes into my life, my friend. Are we obeying God's will? Let's pray. Believe that when we come in God's presence, the Spirit of God is always moving among us. I want you to spend some moment just hearing the voice of God today, my friend. I believe that God has been speaking to you through His Word, that He has been just telling you, "This is what I want." And we know but are we just obey. When we pray, "Thy will be done," it's a prayer of submission. It It's a prayer that says, Lord, I'm going to be faithful in your will. I'm going to stick on, God. I want to persevere. Whatever it is, I'm just there for you. As Job says, even though, Lord, you kill me, yet I will trust in you. Do you know something? There are certain things not revealed to us. But just keep on living a life for Christ. Because one day or someday, you realize why God has brought you through that path, my friend. Because in everything that God does, He does for good, for those who love Him. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you taught your disciples the words, Thy will be done. And you lived out that particular word of God. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, God, you prayed the exact words, Your will be done. You gave yourself totally to the will of the Father. And there was no turning back. Help us, O Lord, to be found in your will. Because when we are found in your will, there's nothing to fear. Help us, O Lord, to be doers of your will. And we thank you because you have a will for our lives, Father. You have a plan for our life. As Jeremiah says, Lord, plans to prosper us. In Jesus' name.